Welcome to the Veterans Perspective, presented by the Michigan Veterans Affairs Agency, with your host, Director of the MVAA, Zanetta Adams.
Welcome back to the Veterans Perspective. It is Memorial Day weekend, and you know, it's a start of summer, I would say, for many, but also it's a time to be reverent. And so we are going to have a great show for you today. Today, we're going to be speaking with Captain Adam Stevens and Staff Sergeant April Holmes from the Michigan National Guard's Honor Guard, April Brandon, a Gold Star mother, and Shrey Austin, the director of the Great Lakes National Cemetery. We're talking about what Memorial Day means, what you can do to honor those who have given their lives for our freedom, and ways that you can potentially celebrate what we have in this country. So stick around. We'll be right back on the Veterans Perspective. Welcome to the Veterans Perspective. I'm your host, Zanetta Adams, Director of the Michigan Veterans Affairs Agency. And we're talking about Memorial Day and really, you know, what it's about, the origins of it, and many ways that you can honor those who have given their life for this country. You know, it's truly a special day for all Americans, and especially for our veterans and their families, because we will be honoring service and sacrifice. And so, as I mentioned, we'll be speaking with several guests today, a Gold Star mother. So for those who may not know what that is, we'll get more understanding of that. The Michigan National Guard's Honor Guard and what they do and how they're called to action. And then, of course, the director of the Great Lakes National Cemetery. Before we dive into that, though, you know, I would be remiss if we didn't talk about Memorial Day, because I think sometimes, especially on the civilian side and even on the veteran side sometimes, because it wasn't like we had a class in this, we don't understand sometimes what Memorial Day is and the difference between Memorial Day and Veterans Day. You know, according to the History Channel, Memorial Day is an American holiday observed on the last Monday of May. It used to be May 30th consistently, but in 1971, that was changed. Many Americans observe Memorial Day, and they do it by visiting cemeteries or memorial or holding family gatherings and participating in parades. And, you know, of course, unofficially, as I mentioned earlier, it marks the beginning of the summer season. You know, but as we talk about Memorial Day, you know, we hear this term, freedom is not free. And I'd like to quote a verse actually from the Bible for those of you who may know. Luke 12:48 says, unto those whom much is given, much is required. And so when I think about freedom not being free, I think about the fact that we are given this freedom and responsibility with that freedom by those who gave their lives, who came before us, who fought and served and lost their life for us to continue to be free. And so, you know, this, hopefully this day, as you celebrate, hopefully there's some warm weather, you're able to get out, you're able to be with family, especially after not being with family for 2 years because of COVID-19, that you remember, you take a moment, even if it's just a moment, to remember the service and sacrifice that those who gave their lives and shed blood for this country have given. And those came in all different races, different genders, who gave their lives. And so remembering that we've been given this opportunity, even those of us who've served and who made it, right? Some of us sacrificed through becoming disabled because of the military. Many of us sacrificed family time. We sacrificed time with our loved ones. Some of us to the result of, you know, no longer being with our spouses. And there's just so many sacrifices that I know that we've made in the service of our country. But let us not forget that with those sacrifices come responsibility. And for those of us, for those who have not even served, maybe too, to remember that there is a high cost for that. And so everything that we do, we need to remember that in this free country, in this country where we have so many other rights, and we can, you know, talk about people on social media without, maybe there's cancel culture now, but it's not a crime. But, you know, the things that we do, that we don't take that lightly, and we don't take those freedoms for granted. You know, one of the other things, though, as we're talking about remembrance, that I want, which I didn't know, is that each year, Memorial Day, a national moment of remembrance takes place at 3 p.m. local time. So wherever you are, 3 p.m. local time, maybe this is the time for you to really reflect on, what does freedom mean to me? And what responsibility do I have to myself and my children and my loved ones to make sure that the freedoms that I am able to enjoy are not taken for granted, that I don't misuse those freedoms that I have, that I take advantage of the rights that I have, like the right to vote, and, you know, all of these rights that we have. And so I just ask that you all, you know, if you have time and you remember to observe and take a moment of remembrance on Memorial Day, out of the many things that we have going on at 3 p.m. to remember those who came before us and gave their lives. Finally, I will say that for those of you who may celebrate Memorial Day and the starting of summer with fireworks, just remember your comrades that have PTSD and may be struggling, and that this is a tough time as we get into summer. It's not one that's welcomed all the time by everyone because of the fireworks and because of the loud noises. And so get to know your neighbors, talk to your neighbors. And if you have a veteran next to you, you know, talk to them about, you know, if this is triggering, or if you know, if there's something that you can do to help out that veteran during this time where people may be shooting off cannons and fireworks. I know I was at a Memorial Day event where they shot off cannons, and I was not prepared. I didn't know that that was happening. There was no warning. I didn't see the cannons. They were behind me. And when they went off, I had a bit of anxiety and didn't even know where that came from. And so just be mindful of the people around you as we're all trying to get through this together. Again, I think we have an interesting show for you today. It's one that I know I'm going to learn a lot. Hopefully you'll learn a lot. And I hope that you will stick around as we are embracing what Memorial Day means on the military side. So when we come back, we'll be joined by Captain Adam Stevens and Staff Sergeant April Holmes from the Michigan National Guard's Honor Guard to talk about Memorial Day and these services that they do for our nation's heroes. So stick around. We'll be right back on the Veterans Perspective. Welcome back to the Veterans Perspective. Please join me in welcoming our first guest to the show, Captain Adam Stevens, who joined the Michigan National Army National Guard 16 years ago. He's a field artillery officer who has served on two deployments. He's married to another Michigan National Guard officer. And they have two children together with a third on the way. Congratulations. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And, you know, so we're talking about Memorial Day, and, you know, many aspects of that, you know, include, you know, the national cemeteries, the veteran cemeteries, but then it also includes the component of the Honor Guard and laying our nation's heroes to rest. And so can you tell us a little bit about the Honor Guard and why you decided to be a part of that?
Yeah, so the Honor Guard for Michigan here on the Army National Guard side. So we provide honors to all Army veterans, active duty, Army Reserves, and Army National Guard. And it's an extremely rewarding opportunity for me and my team to say thank you to those that came, you know, before us. And I really enjoy it. And it also gives me, you know, hope for the future, that I get to see, you know, that my component will still support me and I won't be forgotten. So it's an extremely busy program, unfortunately. We do about 4,500 services a year. And that at Holly alone, we did 1,500 last year. So it's a very, very sought after assignment. It's, you know, very prestigious, that it's representing the service to the families who are going through, you know, their grieving time. But like I said, it's extremely rewarding. The team members really enjoy it, and the families enjoy seeing us out there.
You know, first of all, I want to say, you know, thank you for this. You know, you're already a service member. serving in the Michigan Army National Guard, and then this additional assignment, which is really, you know, you are seeing people at their most vulnerable. You're engaging with people. And so that is a humbling assignment. So I want to thank you for that as well. You know, my dad was laid to rest January of 2021, passed away in December, Vietnam veteran. And, you know, it wasn't in Michigan. It was our Abraham Lincoln National Veterans Cemetery. But I just remember it was cold outside and the honor guard was there to make sure that we had that dignified service before we gave him over to the cemetery. And so I appreciate all that you do. I would ask you, you know, what's unique about the Michigan Honor Guard versus maybe a different type of honor guard? I know there are other service organizations and things that have honor guards. What makes you different?
So even internal to the Michigan Army National Guard, we also have what's known as a color guard. So those are the ones that present the colors during different celebrations and stuff. And that, you know, really is to celebrate the service and honor the currently serving members. Our honor guard is specifically there to support the deceased veteran and their families. We don't wear any of our own name tags when we do services because it isn't about us anymore. It's about that veteran. So that's one of the big things. And we hold our team in high regards. It's a very difficult team to be a part of. And it's, like you said, when you're dealing with families all the time, it takes a special individual to be there, you know, to be that support system, because we aren't, you know, statues, we aren't robots. We feel, you know, things too. And the families do like to engage with my soldiers while they're out there doing services. And I encourage it because they like to feel that support. And a lot of the families, you know, they don't always get to take part in their members' service. You know, we deploy, we go on training events, we leave. So they don't always get to see everything that takes place. So it's an opportunity for us to kind of welcome them into the fold, you know, literally with the flag, but, you know, to see like what the service feels towards their service members.
And, you know, you mentioned something about, you know, how you all are not robots, and that's so true. How are you making sure that you are taking care of your mental health and well-being? Because I can't imagine 4,500 services, and I know you're probably not performing them all, but you're doing your fair share of those, and that can take a toll on you mentally. How are you taking care of yourself?
So me personally, I've only performed a few of the funerals. I oversee the whole state. We've got seven teams throughout the state. But I definitely encourage, you know, my soldiers to take those opportunities to wind down, but also to remember why we're doing it. You know, that's that's the biggest thing that keeps us focused. But there is, you know, there is some burnout. We do rotate our soldiers through different positions, you know, some that are less intense as far as, you know, the mission count and all that stuff. And then making sure, you know, when they do take leave, you're on leave, you know, don't worry about what's going on. The team will take care of themselves, because that is an extremely important position. And when you're around, you know, all of that mourning all the time, you know, it can take a toll. So I definitely encourage, you know, my teams to first remember, you know, why we're doing this, and then take their time, you know, when they do need to take a knee. And our team leaders are very in tune with how their soldiers are feeling. It's a very personal program. So we do have, you know, rank, but they work together all the time. They, you know, they ride in cars, they know each other, they know their families. So they can pick up on the tones that each other are speaking with and that kind of thing. So we're very in tune with how they're doing.
Well, that's great to hear. And that's encouraging. And, you know, I know doing this job, you know, part of what you're doing is taking that physical and mental toll, but, you know, there's a toll on the families as well when they have to come to this point. And so we're all about breaking down barriers. And so I would say, you know, if someone is looking to have their service member, their veteran laid to rest and have an honor guard participate? Do they reach out to you directly or do they go through the funeral home? How does that work?
So most funeral homes have our number. So we've got an email address and a phone line. They can also reach out to what's called the Casualty Assistance Center in Fort Knox. If a soldier passes away while they're on orders, they will notify the Casualty Assistance Center. But for veterans, they will also handle their requests as well. So we either get what's called a self-generated request, which is the funeral homes reaching out to us directly. They have our request form. The biggest thing for families is when you're generating the request is try to get that DD-214. That's going to be the substantiating document, or a discharge, so you get your discharge certificates as well. I know that so a lot of the veterans of the Army Reserves and National Guard may not have a DD-214. They would have what's called an NGP-23, which we are trying to get away from as a service that's being handled at a higher level than me. But that DD-214 is going to be that substantiating document. So including that with the request, that's going to get us all the information we need to determine the honors that veterans can receive, because there are different levels of full honors. The most common one is the two-man team. So they'll show up, they'll fold the flag, they will play taps, and they will present the flag. For like the full 21-gun salute, there are criteria that the veteran has to meet. You have to be retired or pass away while on orders or be a general officer. But for the or a Medal of Honor winner, but veterans at minimum, it's the flag fold and the playing of taps.
Well, thank you so much, Adam, for all of this great information. And for those of you, if you're looking for this or you need this service, you can always give us a call at 1-800-MISHVET. That's 1-800-642-4838. We can help you get that service member's DD-214, and we can also get you connected with burial benefits. Thank you so much for joining, and thank you for all that you do for our nation's heroes and your sacrifice every day. So thanks for joining us.
Thank you. And you will see my team there on the 29th or the 30th, excuse me, in Dearborn.
All right. Well, we look forward to seeing you, Adam, and we'll be right back on the Veterans Perspective with our next guest.
Welcome back to the Veterans Perspective, presented by the Michigan Veterans Affairs Agency. Now, your host, Director of the MVAA, Zanetta Adams.
Welcome back to the Veterans Perspective. Joining me as my next guest is April Brandon. April Brandon is a mental health counselor who's familiar with veterans issues. She's also an elected official serving as the president of the Board of Trustees for the Holly Township Library. She lives in the village of Holly, is a mom of three, and is a Gold Star mother. She will share with us today about her son, Kenneth, who served in the U.S. Navy, and about her experiences that helped her to hold on to the memories of her loved one while continuing to find meaning in life. So welcome to the show, April.
Hi, thank you.
Thank you so much for being on this special, I would say, Memorial Day show and sharing your journey with us. And so, you know, I didn't want to go into too much detail in your intro, but, you know, you're a Gold Star mother. And I know that many people don't know what that is. Can you tell us what a Gold Star mother is?
Yes. And I'd like to thank you for giving me this opportunity. A lot of people don't know what it is to be a Gold Star family. Even some people that are in the service that I met. And what that means is that you had an immediate family member serve in service and die or be killed in service. So there's a part of this that I think is, you know, a good thing that not a lot of people know what it means. It means we're not losing as many of our, you know, service people as we used to. But also, I think it's great that you're giving me this chance to bring awareness to what it means to have a Gold Star family. And I thank you for that.
No, I thank you for sharing your journey and your story. And, you know, to be a Gold Star mother means you did, like you said, you lost someone. And so first off, I want to say I'm so sorry for that loss. I can't I can't even imagine that. And I know many of our listeners can't and wouldn't want to. And so can you tell us a little bit more about your son and how you got to be at this point?
Yes, my son was, he was 22, but when he joined the Navy, when he was 18, he joined in the hopes of going to college later and all the benefits that you get from being in the service. When he was little, he had wanted to be a video game programmer, but later on in life, he spoke about getting into robotics. And when he was serving, he was doing radar technology. He was also a self-published author. He wrote fan fiction. He was a big fan of Zelda and a lot of video games. So he wrote fan fiction about that and published it on apps online and whatnot. So he was a really, really smart kid. I think he had a lot of potential and he went really far in life. I think that he would have gone a lot further. So losing him was this tragic loss for my family and I. It wasn't just what he already offered, but he had so much more coming up from a whole world in front of him. He was a really good big brother. You know, watching my kids suffer his loss was this whole other piece to the heartbreak. My next oldest son, Marshall, was best friends with Kenny. And, you know, you have this whole other life that goes on that just doesn't stop when someone dies. And actually the last time that Kenny had come home before we lost him was when my other son had tried to kill himself. He took a week of emergency leave to come home and be with the family because family was important to him. Mm-hmm. And then 8 months later, we lost him at the collision with the USS McCain and the oil rig Allnick. My littles were 6 and 7. They were hurting so badly and they were questioning everything all the time, asking me why he had to die. I was really worried about my older son, Marshall. He was 17, but you know, I was really worried, especially after a suicide attempt, but somehow he dug in and found his strength, even though he was grieving, and he stepped up and he was there for the family. And we just kept going. But it, you know, a public tragedy like that has issues of its own. Mm-hmm. People feel that they have a right to invade your privacy, whether that's to share condolences or offer you up their opinions about what it means to them to be in the service. And strangers online not all of them think great things about our service people. And we were getting these messages that were just, some were amazing, some were wonderful, and some were horrific. Mm-hmm. So it was just this whole other dynamic to a public loss. And it was hard to have the time to simply sit there and grieve my son in privacy without being bothered by all these other people trying to meet their needs through our loss. It was such a different thing that you hope that no one has to experience. And I hear a lot of Gold Star family members say that. I recently made friends with a woman named Terry Johnson. Her son Joe was killed about, I think, 14 years ago. And she was a Gold Star mom that lived in the Flint area with her husband Dennis. And she often spoke about her son and her loss. And I met her at the Veterans Homecoming Parade last year. We were invited to be in it as Gold Star moms. I invited her to come along with me. She was just this amazing woman. And one of the things that she said is, it's this family that you join that you never asked to be in. And that'll stick with me.
Yeah. Well, and I'm so glad that you're finding support in this community. I'm sorry that we have to have this community, but that you're finding this support. And so I would say for someone out there who maybe they didn't even know that this Gold Star Mother group existed, what would you say has been the biggest resource in helping you to just get through daily tasks?
Well, I'd like to say my family, but that wasn't the case for me. So what really helped get me through it was my CAICO, my casualty officer. He was my liaison, Chief Damian Montgomery. And then Julie Bozell, she was my my Gold Star coordinate through the Navy. And, you know, they were constantly checking in at first. And these are people, once you meet them, you might know them for months. You might know them for the rest of your life. It just depends on how the dynamic of your relationship flows from there. But they care. And they're people that take on these jobs that most people would not want anything to do with. They're a special breed of people that choose to be there for families that suffer losses like this.
Yeah. Well, you know, you just being on this show is helping. It's helping someone who may not know that this is in existence. And so I would just ask, how are you doing today?
I'm doing all right. You know, my other kids are doing really well. And we talk about Kenny all the time and we celebrate his life. Our home is a tribute to him. We moved to Holly not too long after he was killed, and everything about this house is a tribute to his memory. He was living his life in service, so we took over where he left off in the way that we're able to. We have two little free libraries outside, and we give back to the community through education there. And now I'm serving on the library board in Holly Township. And I take my kids with me to different charity events in town, and I just remind them that this is something that you can do to honor your brother's memory.
Well, April, I want to thank you so much for, you know, you didn't have to share your story, especially after talking about how, you know, social media and people out there who don't know you could really be all up in your life, really, and try to have opinions. And so I thank you for sharing a little bit about Kenny. And I know we didn't touch the surface, but, you know, thank you for being vulnerable and opening up to us. And just really quickly before we wrap up, is there a website that someone can go to find out more about Gold Star Mothers or how they can be of service like you all are continuing to do?
There is. If they Google Gold Star Mothers online, they can find which chapter is closest to them. I know we've got a few in Michigan. I want to say the closest one to us is in Rochester or Sterling Heights. I haven't gone about really getting involved with the Gold Star Mother chapter yet myself, but those women were, I'm sorry.
That's okay. You know what? I just want to thank you. And I know that those women were probably the rock that you needed. And, you know, we're going to make sure that we continue to keep in touch with you, April, and keep you connected to resources for you and your family. So I thank you for sharing your journey today. And for those of you listening, I just hope that you will visit the Gold Star Mothers website and check out how you can be of support. Stick around. We'll be right back on the Veterans Perspective. Welcome back to the Veterans Perspective. I'm here with Shrey Austin. She joined the active military and served there from 1993 to 2001, then did two more years with the Army Reserve. She was selected as the director of the Great Lakes National Cemetery here in Michigan, effective this November of 2020, after serving at four other national cemeteries across the nation. Ms. Austin is responsible for all burial, maintenance, and administrative operations of the cemetery. In addition, she oversees operations for Fort Mackinac Post Cemetery located on Mackinac Island and Lakeside Soldiers Lot located in Lake Huron, Michigan. Welcome to the show, Shrey.
Thank you so much for having me. It's good to be here.
Yeah, it's good to have you and congratulations. I know you came on during a crazy time, but we welcome you to Michigan.
Well, thank you. It's exciting to be here. I am so far, Michigan has treated me very well, at similar to home, which is Minnesota, and okay. But not quite as harsh as the weather there. So I really like it.
Yeah, I was going to say snow in Minnesota. So we're talking about Memorial Day, and, you know, we'd definitely be remiss if we didn't talk about the Great Lakes National Cemetery, which is for veterans. And so I would love to tell us a little bit about the cemetery and some of the requirements to get into that cemetery.
Absolutely. Again, I'm the director of Great Lake National Cemetery. So Great Lake National Cemetery, there's only two national cemetery in the state of Michigan. One is Custer, and then the other one is Great Lakes. We are the 122nd cemetery that's been established out of 155 national cemeteries. The first burial for Great Lake took place in 2005, and that's when the National Cemetery Administration took over. We have 544 acres, of which 120 acre are developed, and we still have 424 acres undeveloped. Currently, I'm going to give you a little stats here. We currently have, and this is as of the end of April, 54,741 burial interments that have taken place since 2005. We're super, super busy in the summer. We average anywhere from, 20 to 38 burials a day. And we have plenty of, obviously, available spots left. Some of the options for burial options are, we have in-ground burials, which is the pre-placed crypts, that's for casket. And as far as cremations are concerned, we have the option of in-ground burials, which you get the white marble headstones, upright headstone for in-ground. And we also have the columbarium wall, which is a niche that can hold two urns. Some of the information of, I guess, the eligibility of how a veteran, all eligible veteran could receive the burials here. We provide, and these are some of the benefits that we provide, a gravesite in any VA national cemetery that has available space, or a VA funded state tribal cemetery. So we are the national cemetery, and it says available space. And I'm going to jump a little bit to where I also oversee Mackinac and Lakeside Port Huron Soldiers Lot. And those two are closed cemeteries. They are not open for interment, but we do maintain them and keep it a national shrine as well. So, but Great Lake is active and open. The other benefit is the opening and closing of the gravesite. We also provide a grave liner, a burial flag, and a presidential memorial certificate at no cost to the families. And the VA Veterans Benefit Administration pays a burial and plot allowance for those veterans that are eligible by law. And that is the Veterans Benefit Administration VBA program. The types of benefits that are available for, I was going to talk about unclaimed, but I'll just go into eligibility. I'm sorry. The first step to, at the time of needs, is to contact the National Cemetery Scheduling Office. And I'm just going to read off the phone number for you. It's 1-800-535-1117 to determine the decedent is a veteran and they're eligible for burial at a VA national cemetery. So again, the National Cemetery Scheduling Office, at the time of needs, the family or the funeral home can call 1-800-535-1117 to determine if the decedent is veterans and they're eligible for burial at Great Lake National Cemetery. And they are also, they can also schedule at the time as well with the National Scheduling Center. If the discharge records are not immediately available, the process may require several days. And also in addition, the state or the tribal veterans cemetery also offer burial options for eligible veterans and other decedents. That you need to contact the state or the tribal veterans cemetery for eligibility determination and scheduling the burials. And the perpetual care for Great Lakes is one of the primary focus for us outside of providing the dignified burial. Perpetual care is extremely important. Our main priority, obviously, is interment for the families, but our main focus, our majority of our job is 80% of it is maintaining that national shrine. If there's not any question about that, I'd like to cover a little bit on Memorial Day, if that's okay with you guys.
But yeah, I definitely wanted to talk about what you were doing for Memorial Day and please share what's going on Monday.
Yep. So there is not any Memorial Day activity going on at Lakeside. However, at Great Lake National Cemetery for tomorrow, Sunday, the 29th, is our Memorial Day ceremony. And that's at 1 p.m. We are expecting 5,000 to 6,000 people, so please arrive early. So parkings are limited. Again, so that's at 1 o'clock on Sunday, the 29th is a Memorial Day ceremony. And then on Tuesday, May 31st, please come out at 5 o'clock to the cemetery to help us pick up the gravesite flags that were placed on the 27th on Friday. And then also at Mackinac Island, there is this Memorial Day ceremony. They will pay tribute by lining up and doing a parade up to the cemetery. And there'll be a brief remarks by the executive director there, Steve Bryson. And then they place the flag placement as well. And then that's what's happening at Mackinac Island.
Well, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing you out there tomorrow for that Memorial Day service at the cemetery. And really just thank you so much for sharing information. And just for those listening again, just a reminder that if you need to get access to D214, we can help you with that at no cost. It's 1-800-MISHFET. That's 1-800-642-4838. And you can reach out to us for that. And we can also help you get connected to your burial benefits for your veteran at through our hotline as well. And we'll get you connected to the national cemeteries. But again, just don't forget that number 1-800-525-1117 is to get connected to the national cemetery. And so thank you so much for joining us and talking about some of the things that you're doing. I know that there's much more that we could talk about. And I know that you're looking for volunteers. So if anybody wants to come volunteer on that on May 31st to help pick up those flags, that's another dignified way to serve those who've served you. So thank you so much for joining us today, Shrey. And also want to thank all of our guests who joined us, Adam from the National Guard, and also wanted to thank April for joining us from the Gold Star Mothers as well. Just as a reminder that I know that we talked about some heavy topics today and you may have been struggling with the loss as well. Don't forget to give us a call at 1-800-MISHFET. Again, if you need to get connected to any resources or if you're struggling and these conversations were tough, you can always give us a call to the Veterans Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255, press 1 or text 838-255.